welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Well, hello, Jennifer. Great to be with you, as always.
So, you know, in past episodes, we have talked about embracing change as part of education. We've talked about going after those topics that that don't necessarily come so easy to learners, that aren't necessarily their favorite, that
taking
maybe
risks.
Have taking risks. So
going out of their comfort zone. Yes.
Yeah, so
I'm loving where you're going.
So I want to practice what we've been preaching, and I'm going to propose that we discuss math phobia today, because I've got,
Now you're making me sad.
Math has been, over time, was a bit of a challenging topic for me in school. And so, but look, I want to get past that.
You do so well in our math puzzlers together. I can't imagine that was, seriously, you have a very creative mind.
Well, thank you. I mean, what I'm thinking is that, you know, some of that probably had to do with how the material was presented. And we've talked about, you know, effective failing and all of the things that can go into making learning a good experience. And some of that might have been missing along the way. Who knows? But I'm moving forward from that. And I'm wanting to...
So I'm going to take my president of Southwestern University hat off.
Okay, I'll put it over here.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And place of honor. And I'm going to put on my math professor hat.
Great.
And I will tell you that, first of all, the phrase... is a concern of mine.
Okay, which phrase? Mathphobia.
Mathphobia, exactly.
Okay.
Because it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Oh, mathphobia. It's like, you know, it's so complex. Have you ever heard of history phobia, of art phobia, anthropology phobia, of language arts phobia, of science phobia? It's amazing that those phrases do not, they're dissonant. And mathphobia just rolls off the tongue. Our society has come to a peace with the fact that it's okay to hate math and be afraid of math. And it's so sad to me personally. Now, I will admit that it's not just, you know, that, you know, overall we don't teach math in a particularly, you know, uplifting and meaningful way. It's all, you know, here's how to do it and do it and don't talk back. But the truth is, we don't help as practitioners. For example, what do you call the challenges of the field? We... math instructors at all grade level call them problems.
But you've said not to do that.
First of all, it took me about a year. This was years ago. It took me about a year, and I cleansed that word. And no one in the world of mathematics... I was recently visiting a bunch of 7th and 8th graders, about 700 of them. And they came up to me, and they're all using my videos. And they said, thank you so much. You helped me with my math problems. And to each and every one of them that came up to me and said that, I said, it turns out there are no math problems. There are only... challenges, conundrums, questions, riddles, puzzles, whatever you want to call them, exercises. But why should we as math educators put a negative filter in front of these interesting challenges? So we shoot ourselves in the foot all the time as math educators. So it's all our fault. And I want to say to all of our listeners, if you had a bad math experience, if you have experienced math phobia, on behalf of math educators throughout the globe, I want to personally apologize. I'm sorry. It's our fault.
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow.
So Jennifer, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Do you need a hug?
Apology accepted. Notice radio that, hug. Radio hug.
Which means I don't actually get a hug, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Theater of the mind. There was no hug.
Theater of the mind.
Yes.
That's so interesting about that phrase, math phobia, because we do just toss that around a lot.
Well, and also, I mean, the joy of education, which is something we've talked about. Look at the language we use. Homework.
Work.
Work. So who wants to work? Well, work is not fun.
Yeah.
I say we should call it home play. So here's your home play for tonight. And so could you imagine like the parent talking to the kid? Have you finished your math home play yet? No, I've got some more playing to still do. Well, hurry up and keep playing because we are on dinner soon. I mean, it's a different attitude, right? Worksheets. Who wants to do a worksheet? It should be called a play sheet. Learning should be, we should have the habit that learning is play. Learning is fun. Challenges are play. Challenges are joyful. Intellectual thinking and challenges are things we should want to be drawn toward, like a moth to a flame, rather than repel. That's too hard. I'm not going to take it. Or I don't like it. I'm going to give up.
Well, and you know, I think some of this is related to kind of structure and process as much as content, because I'm thinking back to times when I had math homework and getting frustrated because I couldn't get the answer. I knew I had to solve the math question that I had. I had to have a number that was the answer, and I couldn't get it. You know what I knew the consequences were, was that I was going to get the problem wrong and then get a lower grade. Because the idea in the classroom was not, well, you know, take it home, work on it, and then bring back what you have and we'll look at it.
Rather than play with it for a
right.
while and come back.
Play around with it, see what you can do, and then tomorrow we'll all look at it together.
If you use that language, play, then the idea of experimenting, taking a risk, trying something, having it not work, it's all good. You're just playing. See, it feeds into these mindsets that we've been talking about now for a year. It's interesting, right? Just by thinking about it as play rather than work.
So I'm going to tread into dangerous territory now. I'm just saying that up front.
Oh, no.
So, well, I just think this is such an interesting topic because I think people have a lot of assumptions about math. So can I tell you the word I wrote down on the piece of paper while you were talking?
Is it obscene?
No.
Okay, then please tell us.
I wrote nerdy. And I'll tell you the reason that I wrote that, because I think, and I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that's the reason I wrote.
Yeah.
When you were talking about, you know, we don't say anthropology phobia or
right.
sociology phobia or Spanish language phobia.
Yes.
Because I think there's something about, I associate people who are very successful at accomplishments in math as being incredibly smart and incredibly accomplished. And
you're hedging here. Get to it.
Well, but
you're,
you know,
vamping.
Well, so you know what the hedging shows, though, is that I think this is not a valid, it's not firm ground to stand on, that it's not true. I mean, just to be blunt, you know, I think a lot of people think people who are good at math are nerds.
Yeah. Well, and in some sense, so, you know, you look at that TV show, The Big Bang Theory. I mean, there, nerds are celebrated and people think they're cool. So there is this, so nerd is no longer a four-letter word. I don't think I was ever a nerd until around my senior year in high school when I fell in love with calculus. And it's funny, you talk about the homework and the problems. Do you want me to tell you the very first question that was given to me for at home that I just thought brought me joy in
math?
It was in high school. It was calculus. It was the very first assignment that my calculus teacher, Lisa Metzler, who I just adored. She was amazing. There was this really hard question. And it involved graphing a very complicated function, which had absolute values in it. And it had a quadratic, which I'd never done before in my life. And the kind of answer that I got didn't make sense because it didn't look like a parabola and it looked weird. So I assumed it was wrong. It turned out it was right. Now, I wish I had more confidence in myself. That was one thing I developed later. And that's the thing we should be talking about, is the confidence. When we're taking risks and going out of our comfort zone, you have to be confident with yourself to take that step and to fail and so forth. I wasn't very confident in high school. But it was so triumphant for me the next day in class when no one else got it. And it turned out that I actually had it, but I was too bashful to go up to the board and do it. But I had this internal, wow, that brought me joy. And that was a real inflection point for me in my math career.
So I feel like I'm gaining some math confidence. So let's do the math hanger then today.
No,
I'm ready.
No, now with this whole nerd comment and the whole subject of math phobia, I'm not going to throw a puzzler, a riddler in this conversation. I'm going to put it off until our next episode and then I'll give you one. But this is all about math phobia. Every math riddle I give has no phobia attached. So
well, and
you're
actually,
off. You're off or on.
And that's interesting though, because those have all been fun creative endeavors. And we did one recently where you said it's essentially a model of numbers theory. And I thought, holy cow, numbers theory. There's no way I could possibly do that. But the answer made complete sense.
This reminds me of a wonderful quote that a former student of mine said. I developed a course where basically a lot of these riddles are coming from a textbook that Mike Starber and I wrote. This is a course called The Art of Mathematical Thinking. It takes all the big, deep, profound humanity-changing ideas of mathematics and makes it accessible to students that are humanities majors without equations and so forth. Talking about infinity, the fourth dimension, randomness, fractals, chaos, and so forth, number theory. And what's interesting is that people have math phobia. They don't know what math is. They think math is solving that for X, whereas thinking like a mathematician is something different. It's a logic. It's a combination. It's a delicate balance of art and creativity and science and rigor and proof, and putting those two juxtaposed, the idea of being creative and yet being rigorous is really what mathematics is about and what math thinking is. This course was all about that. So these students who were, you know, humanities majors were studying different sizes of infinity, different dimensions of space, the notion of measuring randomness and so forth. But we were doing it without equations. So one day a student said, so someone came to visit the class, someone wanted to talk to the students, and said something like, well, what do you think of the class? And this one kid said, oh, well, this is great fun, kind of like the riddles you were saying. Uh-huh. This is great, great fun, but it's not real math. Because real math to them was the thing that you're phobic of. It's the solving for x, and it's graphing the line, and it's finding the slope, and perpendicular, and sines and cosines and logs. And the idea that a mode of thinking and these big abstract ideas, which they were making sense of, that wasn't real math. And of course, it really is. That's the paradox. So when people have math phobia, they don't even know what math is, and they're having a phobia of arithmetic, of symbolic manipulation and memorization. That's what they're phobing.
Well, and who wouldn't? I mean,
and I don't like that either.
I don't blame him.
But it's not math.
Now, Ed, I got to ask you. So when you were giving that answer, you said differing amounts of infinity? I thought infinity was just a big, how can you have differing amounts of everything?
There's the math riddler and a math hanger, which is it possible that infinity, just like numbers, come in different sizes? I'm going to leave that as a math hanger, and we will return to that at some point, and I will tell you all about infinity. It's really cool.
Well, all right.
And counterintuitive.
Oh, good. Those are even better. All right. Well, Ed, thank you so much for helping us keep our brain sharp and helping us contemplate these big questions.
Infinite questions.
Infinite questions. That's right. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. Find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.